Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have promised that it is a light to our path. And we pray, Lord, that this morning, as we look at your word and think about it together, that you will help us to grow in you, to be more like you, Lord Jesus, and to please you in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to read some verses out, and I want you to think of what is in common with all these different verses. That's just to keep you awake, so for starters. Okay, so from Matthew. When Jesus heard this, he withdrew from the crowd and there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. And then Matthew 20. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. And from Luke, as Jesus approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said, "Do not weep." Then he came forwards and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." As Jesus came near to Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace." And Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. Familiar verses, aren't they? But what do they all have in common? One word that was used a lot was compassion. Jesus had compassion. He was moved by what he saw. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept when his friend Lazarus also died. He saw that the people were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't know what was the truth and the kingdom of God. It said Jesus' spirit was deeply moved. And so he wept. And so we see here Jesus, the Son of God, deeply moved and having compassion for the sick, for those who are lost spiritually, and for those who are grieving. Jesus is aroused on behalf of others, and then he acted. So what does that mean for you and me? It follows if we are his followers, his disciples, then we should also be moved by the pleasures and hardships of those we love. Those within the church family, where God has placed us. But what does it mean to have compassion? It's often said that it's to show kindness and sympathy. But it means much more than that. The Latin compati means to suffer with. So it's sharing that heartache that someone else might have. And its compassion should change the way that we behave. And yet what we talk about often today is compassion fatigue, because we have televisions that show us terrible things all over the world. So what can we do about it? What can we do? We know that we can't respond to everyone. But within the church family, we need each one of us, every member of the church, to care for one another. And so we need to ask God to give us a heart, a passion for someone or some cause. We can't possibly get to know everyone very personally. It's impossible. And that's why, of course, we have home groups, because in a home group, we can get to know one another in a deeper way. But sometimes in a congregation, it might be that God just puts somebody's name upon your heart. And that comes about by having a good relationship with God. And then we know that we need to get to know that person and stand alongside them. We heard only the other night, John and I, of a man called, they call him the railway man. And he was a businessman who went to India. I don't know if you've heard of him. And while he was there, the little girl was begging at one of the stations many years ago now. And he had no loose change, he had nothing to give her. And this little girl who was destitute, barefoot and so on. But over the following week or so, God really laid on his heart these destitute children at the railway stations in India. And from that, this Christian man decided he had to do something about it. And he set up a charity. I'm not exactly sure what it's called. Maybe it's called the Railway Children. I think it might be. And that now helps loads and loads and loads of destitute children on railways throughout India. Well, that might not be what we do, but I hope that's an example of how God sometimes gives us a passion for a certain person, as this man had, first of all, for this little girl. So in our home group, might be in the cleaning team or the afternoon chat and tea, or it might be as you're reading through the Who's Who. Lots of us have the Who's Who, and each day it encourages to read for a group of people from church. It might be as you're reading that someone's name God places on your heart that you can pray for them. And then this Thursday, Ascension Day, we begin the initiative first started by the Archbishop, Thy Kingdom Come. And if you've not been involved in it before, I encourage you to be involved in it this year. Churches together in Poynton are doing different things on different days. But one of the main things is that you have five people and you pray for them. Five non-believers. Because Jesus had compassion on those who were sheep without a shepherd. And have we got that same compassion for our friends and family who don't know Jesus? Because without it, they are lost, like the lost sheep. Everyone needs to know Jesus. That is the way to eternal life. That's the way to have life now and life in all its fullness. So if you've got friends or family, who is it that you can pray for? 5 people. And we're encouraged to pray during this time from Ascension to Pentecost. And hopefully you will continue to. I have to confess that some of the 5 that I prayed for last year, I need to revitalize and pray for them again. We need to pray, and we can all do that. We can be involved in thy kingdom come. In that prayer that Jesus taught us, we are part of that answer to that prayer, that we can pray people into God's kingdom. And so we are encouraged in this next chapter that we're looking at in our home groups to draw close to people so that they engage with us, they're comfortable with us and share their challenges and joys. And then we can pray for them. Be personal and pray is the name of the next home group theme. And as we think of this, it made me think again of Jesus with the Samaritan woman. Now, I know we did that in our one-to-one not long ago, but it's such a great passage in John chapter 4. And Jesus goes, doesn't he? I hope you know it well enough. In John chapter 4, verse 7, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus took the initiative and spoke to her. And you know, sometimes we're not very good, are we? Most of us don't like just going up to somebody and speaking to them, even though we're northerners. We probably find it easier than some of our southern brethren. But on the whole, it's not always easy, is it? Even in the hall, you know, well, I don't know them, so I can't really go and speak to them. Well, we all feel the same, so let's do it. Let's speak to one another and ask how things really are. Because that's what Jesus did. He took the initiative. He said to the blind men, "What do you want me to do for you?" He went towards them. And we need to go towards people and encourage them to speak and to share with them. And Jesus, as he approached the Samaritan woman, was very humble. He put himself in a vulnerable position, asking her for a drink. He wanted her to help him. And you know, that's a great way to build up a relationship with somebody. To realize that you're not superior to somebody else, but you're the same and you want them to help you. And we need to have that same humility that Jesus had, because we're called to serve one another. We're all made in the image of God, all of us. And when we become believers in Jesus Christ, we are children of God. So we're all on the same platform. Nicky Gumbel, in one of the readings that I was reading this week, said this: a prudent person is reluctant to display their knowledge. It's like underwear, necessary to have, but you don't have to show it. That was a great quote. We might have knowledge, we might know some things better than another, but we are all the same. We're all on a level platform. We're all God's children. And we need to show genuine interest in others. It's great, isn't it, to share joy with people, as we've shared this morning, and celebrate with them. Jesus celebrated. He celebrated at a marriage, probably for a whole week, because that's what they used to do. So it's great to celebrate and have family gatherings and things. And we're having one this afternoon for one of our grandchildren's one today. So it's wonderful to celebrate together and join together. And we can say things to say that to people. "I'm so happy for you. Let's celebrate your new job. Shall we go out for a coffee? Because I'm so pleased you've got a new job," or whatever we can say. But you know, sometimes we don't even say that, do we? We need to encourage one another and affirm one another. One of the key things, of course, is that we must listen, because God always listens to us intently. It's as though nobody else is speaking to him. He concentrates on us, and we need to learn to do that too. Because when we do that, a relationship can blossom. And one of the things that I notice with Jesus when he's speaking to this Samaritan woman, she's open and honest with Jesus. When Jesus asks her, "Bring your husband," she says, "I haven't got a husband." And Jesus could have said, "Well, yeah, I know that very well. Actually, I know all about you." He didn't say it like that. What did he say? He affirms her for telling the truth and not lying. Now, isn't that wonderful? This woman who's got such a history, but he affirms her by saying, "You are right. Thank you for telling me the truth." That's what he's saying to her. And I think that's amazing. And you know, we can do that with people too. "Thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for telling me about that, that I can pray about it too." So we need to learn to show sympathy without patronizing someone. But then the main thing is that we, in Matthew's gospel, he gives us that golden rule, doesn't he? "If in everything do to others as you would have them do to you." Matthew 7:12. "Do to others as you would have them do to you." So we need to be careful that we don't start giving people advice. We need to show compassion. We need to show that kindness and gentleness. But we only need to give advice if it's specifically requested. But the main thing is that we can pray for one another. And we want to make it personal. So what did Jesus say to the blind men? "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, you'd think it was pretty obvious, wouldn't you? If you've got two blind men there, you'd say, "Well, come on, why are you asking that question?" But no, Jesus was courteous and he said, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And so we need to have that same courtesy with others. How can I pray for you? Because sometimes it's not the obvious that people want you to pray for. So how can I pray for you? That's usually what the prayer ministry team say to you if you come for prayer at the back of church or during one of our prayer ministry services. We need to know how to pray. And that's wonderful. Edward Welsh, who wrote that little book that we're looking at, says this: "Prayer joins together our knowledge of others, our love for them, and our knowledge of God and his promises." I'll say that again. Prayer joins together our knowledge of others, our love for them, and our knowledge of God and of his promises. You see, we will not have all the answers, but we can share with our brothers and sisters and bring their prayer requests to Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's only Jesus who can answer all our needs. In the second reading, it said this: "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." Kindness and gentleness. It doesn't cost anything to be kind. We need to be kind and gentle with one another. Because it then helps us to relate personally with others in the church family. And then it went on to say in that second reading, "Let your requests be known to God." Some of you may have read, or some of our older ones will have read many years ago, "The Cross and the Switchblade." And he said in that, make sure that your requests to God are specific, because then the power of God is released. And so when two or three are gathered together, the Bible tells us, and when we're praying with someone, there are two of us are gathered together, Jesus is there in the midst, listening to us and responding to us. And as we pray, the power of God is released to change lives. We're to minister to one another in order to fulfill the prayer that Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, Lord, here on earth. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, working in us and through us. God is at work in his world through his people. And we are his people. We need to build one another up. We need to be personal with one another. We need to know who it is we need to get alongside and pray with. In 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says this. This is the Message translation. What a wonderful God we have. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of every mercy, and the one who so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships and trials. And why does he do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them this same help and comfort God has given us. We've received so much from God, and we need to share that with one another. Last week I spoke at the 9:30 service, and God gave me a picture. We've just been away on holiday, and when we came back on the plane, we watched a very short documentary. And it was the Okavango Delta in Botswana. And every year they get these rivers coming and it doesn't go anywhere, this water. It's like a big delta in the desert in Botswana. And it was amazing because, first of all, and I tried to get a YouTube clip and couldn't find one, there was a little trickle of water. And immediately that little trickle of water came, there was life springing up. And then there was more and more water. And as more and more water came, then fish that seemed to have been dead were alive, and frogs and so on. And it, very soon, the whole place was buzzing with life. And I believe that is a picture, that delta of rivers is a picture of what we as a church should be. Jesus said, "All those who believe in me, from them will streams of living water flow." So we should be like that delta. Each one of us, from us, those who are believing in Jesus Christ, should be a stream of living water flowing out of us to one another to bring life and healing. You might think, well, I've only got a bit of a trickle, really. Doesn't matter. That trickle, that tiny little bit of water to begin with brought life. And we need to pray that our relationship with God is such that from us come streams and rivers of living water. Let's pray. And as we open ourselves to God and be personal with him as he is with us, that as we pray and as we engage with one another, knowing how people are celebrating or struggling, we can stand with them in prayer, and through the power of the Holy Spirit will come healing and answers to prayer. The power of God wants to be at work within us as a congregation. So we pray that each one of us may be part of that, a stream of living water. Amen.
Thanks, Christine. Much to think about.